Amen. Well, it's good to hear laughter in the house. It's good to joke around with brothers and sisters in Christ and to enjoy each other's company, and I hope we're able to do that tonight. I was joking with Phil earlier. Everyone's kind of low in numbers and whatnot, and probably some of you might know, but the majority of you don't. He preached out of Jonah chapter 3 on Sunday, and I'm hitting it again tonight, so I don't know if y'all heard it already and just decided not to come, but it'll be a little bit different of an angle than what he preached, but it's still good to get in here, and even if it's the same scripture over and over and over again, it's still good to get in here and to learn and to listen and to hear and to apply whatever scripture it is to our lives. Before I get into the word, I wanted to share kind of my day with you guys. I was at work, and I was thinking about the day that I got saved. I was thinking, kind of reminiscing about that day, and it was a day much like this. Weather was beautiful. I was down in Bloomington, Indiana by myself. It was September, but it was in the morning. It was sunshine, real nice, and about the perfect day. And, you know, I was kind of pondering on that day and what happened and what events led up to that choice, you know, the years before, the 19 years prior in my life that led up to that ultimate choice on September 9th, 2012 to give my heart to God. And I came up with one conclusion, that I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus Christ. And some people learn, Ashley, she got saved when she was 13 years old at church camp. It took me 19 years to get saved. And doing, you know, living in the world and doing things my way, and it didn't work out. But me and Ashley, yourselves, even if you're on your deathbed, there's something else in common with that, and that is God is always preparing our hearts. It doesn't matter if we get saved from a young age and we hear the gospel for the first time and we say, yeah, I want that right now, or we get a little bit later in life when we have exhausted all of our efforts, exhausted all of our resources, exhausted everything that we have, and we have nothing left but to turn to God. His preparation for us is always there, and He's never leaving us, and He's never going to forsake us, and He's always ready to extend His hand out. And in that preparation, I was thinking that God is prepared. He prepared my heart to hear that message, but He didn't just prepare my heart that Sunday morning down in Bloomington. He was also preparing the messenger to preach that message so that I might hear it and that I might listen to it and I might apply it to my life. And thank God I did. Tonight we're going to look at a story in Jonah chapter 3 of an individual who was prepared by God the hard way, but also how God prepared the hearts of Nineveh to turn away from their wickedness and to get right with the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Jonah chapter 3. And as you guys turn there, I'm going to fill you in on chapters 1 and 2, kind of what happened in the context. So in chapter 1, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. He says, hey, I need you to go to Nineveh and preach to them because their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah says, okay, that sounds good. I hear you, God. I acknowledge you, God. But I ain't doing it. So he gets on a boat headed to Tarshish, which is the opposite direction. He didn't want to do God's bidding so bad that he literally tried to put a sea between himself and God, except we just sang that God is Lord of land and the sea, so he can control it, he can take it in, which he did. He prepared a storm, sent it out into the sea. Jonah and his shipmates were out. This storm hits. Jonah heads below deck. These guys are praying to their gods, which to no avail because they were false gods and no gods at all, so they didn't listen. They go down to wake up Jonah and said, hey, you got to pray to your God that he might take this away. And Jonah explains his deal, and they cast lots. The lots fall on Jonah, and he says, if y'all want this to stop, you got to throw me overboard. And they say, oh, heavens, no, we're not doing that, and they try and row harder. It didn't work, so overboard Jonah went. At about that time, God prepared a great fish. As Jonah's waiting in the water, God prepared a great fish to swallow him up. In chapter 2, it talks about Jonah's time in that belly and how God had prepared him in the belly of that fish to do what he called him to do all along. In chapter 2, verse 9, and that's where I'll start. I'll go verse 9, and then I'll read chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that the Lord I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Verse 6. For word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, and I ask that you prepare our hearts tonight for this message, God, whether it's the messenger or the people hearing the message. God, I pray that we can be moved through your word. I pray that we're able to listen to it, to take it in, God, and apply it to our lives as we need to. And as you see fit in each of our lives, God, you're preparing each one of our hearts here tonight differently. But I pray that we're responsive to your Holy Spirit in this place tonight. We love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Jonah realizes here as he's in the belly of the fish that there ain't another way. There ain't any other way out than through God himself. He's saying salvation is of the Lord. He realizes that he screwed up, right? Jonah realizes that man had... Can you imagine that? Being in that belly thinking, oh my gosh, if I would have just listened, if I would have just done the thing God asked me to do, I wouldn't be in here. I wouldn't be in here almost drowning. I wouldn't be in here with seaweed wrapped around my head. I wouldn't be here crying out for 3 days and for 3 nights. I wouldn't be here. Oh, but we don't listen even when we know where we're going. It don't work because we know better. We always do. We always act like we do anyways. Unless it's just me, but he knows that there's nothing that is going to get him out of this belly other than God. And when he admits that, when he realizes that, God speaks to the fish and spits him out on a dry land, and just so happened that it was right where he needed to be. In verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, and I just put this together, it came once last Sunday, and it's coming again tonight, so the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. This time, though, was a little different. This time, Jonah was willing, Jonah was ready, Jonah was equipped, he had been prepared in a way that only God could do. He'd been saved from the belly of the fish, and actually, he describes it in as the belly of hell, if that gives you any consolation how bad it was in there. He'd been saved from the sure destruction that he had brought upon himself because of God. So now his ears are a little more perked up. His spirit's a little more in tune with what God is calling him to do. And it's no different in verse 2. And the message is the same as it was in chapter 1. The same message. But now, like I said, Jonah's a little more willing. A little more willing. I think we get like that sometimes when we hear from God what he wants for us to do, and we say, okay, God, I hear you, I acknowledge you, I see the sin in my life, but I ain't done yet. Let me take it just a little bit further. Let me take this sin just a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further, and before we know it, we're in the belly of a fish and we don't know how to get out. And then when God delivers us salvation, we say, oh, man, this is what I've missed out on. This is what God wants me to do. And then God has a purpose for our life to be carried out the way he wants it. Because in verse 3, in verse 2, he says, Go to Nineveh and preach it the preaching that I bid you. So Jonah is getting the word from God. Jonah is not taking it himself. He's not relying on himself to take the word. Because if it was up to him, we know that he wouldn't be there. And even in chapter 4, he still didn't like doing it. He threw a fit. Because they did he did what God asked him to do, and then the outcome was what God expected to happen. And he was upset about it because they weren't like him. But God tells him to go to Nineveh and to preach the preaching that he gave him. So Jonah, unlike Jonah of chapter 1, Jonah chapter 3, he arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He went and did it God's way. He went and did it according to the word of the Lord. And God was already there. God was in the lead. Jonah was following. He was listening. He was being prepared. to do what God had called him to do. And it's a 3-day, so and just for context, the city is very big. It takes 3 days to walk from one end to the other. So you can imagine Jonah's probably thinking, well, what am I going to do? I'm nervous. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to share the word that God's given me. I don't want to do it. But he does it because he knows where he had just came from. And this alternative, this option is a little bit better. So he says, okay, I'll do it. So he gets there, and here's where the fun starts. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. So he's been walking for one day at this point, thinking, relying on God, saying, all right, God, I'm here to do what you called me to do. Here to do what you called me to do. And he heads into the city a day's journey, and he cries out and says, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now there's some confidence behind this message now. There's some certainty behind the message that God has called Jonah to preach. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, does it not say that if the word is not of God, the prophet shall die? So Jonah had to know that this was, in fact, from God. His life was at stake. The people knew that his life was at stake. He knew that, but he took it and went, and he was confident in the message that God had given him. And all he needed to say was 8 words. An 8-word sermon was all that Jonah had to preach. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 8 words all it took. And I know what you guys are thinking. Why can't you only preach 8 words and we can get out of here early? Well, that's a different time, different story. But it worked for them. That's all they needed to hear. God prepared their hearts to only hear 8 words. And so they hear it, and what's interesting is Jonah didn't go in there and stand to the guy next to him. Because remember, we talked about when God's moving, he draws a crowd. So this guy's in smack dab in the middle of the city. He didn't go lean to the guy to his left and say, hey, I'm here for God, and he's going to wreck this place if you don't get it right. Tell everybody else. He doesn't give that message, does he? He cries out, hey, you guys got 40 days to get it right, or God's going to destroy you. He's going to wipe you out. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Wiped them out. Same fate is going to happen to this place. Same story, same word here. Overthrown, destroyed, disintegrated. It's going to happen if they don't get it right. They tighten up. They're interested. They're engaged. And, you know, the great thing about this is in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, but it took them a second. You know, you think about how many times was this nation, was this empire witnessed to? How many times did somebody share, you got to get it right with God, you got to get it right with God, you got to get it right with God. Otherwise, there's nowhere else to go. There's nothing else to do. You're going to die. How many times had Nineveh been preached to? And it fell on deaf ears. The preaching fell on deaf ears because they weren't ready. How many times? I don't know. All I know is that this time they were ready. This time they heard it. This time they were, they were ready. God had prepared them. How many times have you witnessed to your family members or friends or coworkers or husband, wife, whatever it is, whatever relationship you have, how many times you witness to them and you get we don't talk about religion or politics in this house. We stay away from that. You keep church at church. You can bring everything else here, but we don't want to hear about Jesus. We don't want to hear about repentance and heaven and hell. We don't want to hear about that. How many times have you witnessed to the same person, the same message that God loves them, that if they would only repent, they would have the gift of eternal life? How many times have you preached that same message to a certain person? I can't, when we first started dating, I can't count how many times her and her family preached that message to me. I can't tell you. I know it was more than once, but I couldn't tell. I couldn't give you a number. I know it was I rejected the gospel more times than I didn't, but I only needed to accept it once. But I can't tell you how many times they said this, and I just was turned off to the notion because my heart wasn't prepared. You know, I wasn't ready to let go of my lifestyle, let go of my Nineveh, so that I could be used for God. I wasn't ready until September 9, 2012, when God said, "Hey, buddy, listen up and get your heart ready." And he did, and I got saved, and praise God for it, because I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for him. I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for him, regardless. So verse 5, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them." And it's because the messenger had also been, he was ready. This all happens because God is moving, because God is working in people's lives, because God is allowing, he's allowing it to happen, but the people are receptive. Jonah was receptive because he knew where he had just come from. These people of Nineveh were receptive. And let me tell you something real quick. You cannot be an effective tool for God in ministry or out in the world if you're not allowing the Spirit of God to move in your life. You cannot preach the Word of God in confidence if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. If I was up here and I was just telling stories, and which I do sometimes, but if I was up here and all you got out of it was, well, he goes to church and, you know, he didn't even crack the Bible and he just told me his life story, what weight would that hold? Zero. So let's talk about some truth. Let's talk about something that holds weight. Let's talk about his word, not my word. Who cares about my word? Who cares about my opinion? It's all about God. It ain't about me. It ain't about Philip. It ain't about Phil. It ain't about Jimmy. It ain't about New Life. It's all about God. And I praise him and I thank him that we have a church that's willing to do what he has called us to do and serve in the community that he has called us to serve in, because a lot of people don't. A lot of individuals don't. A lot of churches don't. But our hearts are prepared for this community. Our hearts are prepared for this place that we've been called to serve in. And so these people see and they believe and they turn and they repent and they believe God's word for what it is. And you can't believe God's word outside of the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You cannot believe what God's word says outside of the word of God. Meaning, these people did not say, "Well, I hear you, Jonah, but I don't think God really means that he's going to overthrow the city. I don't really think that God said that he's going to destroy." Well, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. That's exactly what he meant. And you say, "Well, I don't really believe that if we don't put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and we don't repent and we don't give our lives to Christ that we're going to hell. I don't think that's what the Bible means, because heaven's for everybody. There's a seat there for everybody." Well, we cannot believe God's word outside of his word. And these people understood that. It was like this aha moment, like, holy smokes. How long have we been living like this? And then all of a sudden, it makes sense, because God prepared their hearts. And we see how Jonah's heart was prepared in chapter 2, because he was in the belly of a fish. But what about these people? Why were their hearts prepared? Well, I'm glad you asked. I didn't know. I had to do some research, a history lesson, because it's not in here. The Assyrian Empire at this time was a massive empire. They were wrecking everybody. They wanted something, they took it. Big, like the high school bully of the world at this time. They wanted something, they wanted lunch money, they took it. They wanted your lunch, they took that too. They wanted your girlfriend, they took it. They wanted your city, they took it. They wanted your kingdom, they took it. Until they didn't. You see, the bully only gets to be a bully for so long, and then somebody bigger and badder, or more than one person, gangs up and says, "Hey, we ain't going for this anymore." And so the Medes and the Babylonians start attacking these cats, and they start losing battles. And when you're up here, you think you're going to stay up here forever, right? You think you're going to be on top forever. Ask any pro fighter Think, ask any athlete, you think you're going to be up here forever. And then one day, young buck comes in and takes your spot. Well, when you start losing battles, and when you're so used to winning and taking what you want, I mean, these people were vicious, just a side note from that. These people were vicious. The cities that they would conquer, the people that lived in those cities, when they saw the Assyrian Empire coming, the Assyrian army coming, they would kill themselves because of how brutal they were going to be treated by these people. So these weren't these were not nice, happy-go-lucky folk. They were brutal. They were vicious. But then they started losing battles. Their economy started to tank. Everything started, you know, when you're losing a kingdom, everything starts going downhill. When you're getting off the throne, everything starts going downhill. So these people, when the party left, they weren't sticking around. When there's nothing here anymore to keep you here, and that falls down, the people usually go with it. When you hit rock bottom, and now you know where to go, what choice do you have but to go up? And that's what these people were doing. They said, man, this is how God was preparing their hearts, losing everything they had, knowing that the armies are closing in, the Babylonians and the Medes are closing in. We don't have much time. We don't got much going. And then Jonah comes and confirms it. Hey, y'all don't get it right. You got 40 days to get it right, and you're done. So these people had a reason. God had prepared their hearts, though. Isn't that awesome? Because before, it didn't matter. Before, it didn't matter who came or who said what. And then we get to the guy who was in control of it all. We get to the guy who was in control of the entire city of Nineveh, which was the king, in verse 6. For word came to the king. See, the word came after the people heard it. Word came to the king second. Got out. And you know, the king has his thumb on the pulse of everything. He has people knowing what's in the market, knowing what's here, knowing what's there, knowing who the thieves are, this, that, and the other. So the king knew, but it got back to him. Word got back to him. And so word gets back to the king, okay? And it blows my mind because he was in complete control of this whole city, and he saw the sin in their lives. He saw what was going on. He saw the wickedness that was going on, and it was acceptable behavior for these people. And he could have turned it around like that had he wanted to, but you know why he didn't? Because he was just like them. When the blind's leading the blind, you don't know where to go. When you do something for so long, you get in a habit for so long, it becomes acceptable behavior. We know that it's not right. We know the sin we're doing isn't right. We know the lifestyle we're living and the choices we're making and the thoughts we're thinking isn't right. However, we still do it, don't we? We do. You do. I've done it. You've done it. You at home watching, you've done it. We've all done it. But it doesn't have to stop here, and it doesn't for this city. Because what the king does next is symbolic in a sense. He arose from his throne. You know, when a throne, I have yet to see a two-seater throne. I have yet to see a throne that it's a his and her throne, and y'all sit on it together and everyone's happy. And then when I get off, somebody else can come in. A throne is made for one person. Right, so when he gets off, what's that mean? He allows God to get on, to sit. And that's signifying here in the kingdom that he's the ruler. He's in charge. So the king gets off of his throne. I think sometimes we try to play king in our lives, and we want to, you know, set our throne. We want to be on the throne of our thoughts. We want to be on the throne of our actions. We want to be on the throne of anything that we can control, and we want to hold on to it, and we want to hold on to it, and we want to hold on to it, and say, man, look what I made. Look at this empire I made. And then you look around, and it's the same empire as that was being built in this city, and it's all for nothing. But we know best, right? We know best because we're on the throne. How? Who's going to tell me different? The guy on that throne, maybe? All you got to do is get off, and that's what the king does. He gets off of his throne, and he makes room for God. And you see, as king, he believed as well. He knew before the people did how much trouble he was in. He knew before the people did, before Jonah came, hey, can you imagine being the guy going to the king? Hey, we just got beat by the Babylonians. Hey, the Medes, they slaughtered this whole army, this whole cavalry. Oh my gosh. And he's sitting on his throne, pacing, oh my goodness, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Then Jonah comes and preaches this 8-word sermon, and he believes too, because he don't got anything else. He has nothing else. And he repents. In verses 7 through 9, we see that the king had complete control the whole time, because he calls a decree and says, everybody, even from the dogs and the cattle and the livestock, everything that has a heartbeat in Nineveh is going to repent. We're going to show God we're for real. Now, 10 minutes ago, he didn't quite care about it. Right? But now it's real. Real life is happening. That fairy tale of being on the throne, man, it's looking, oh man, that didn't work for me. It didn't work for Jonah. It didn't work for the Ninevites. He needed something. He needed to change it, didn't he? So he got off his throne. He repented. He calls a decree and says, we ain't doing it anymore. And in verse 9 he says, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yeah, let them turn everyone from his evil way and turn from the violence that is in their hands. So we see this is a sinful place. Everybody here is drowning in their sin. Everybody here has nowhere else to go, and the king's going to make sure that they get it right this time. They get it right this time. And verse 10, and this is the God we serve here, guys. This is the God that we serve. Verse 10 says, and God saw their works, and that they turned away from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do to them. And he did it not. So he sees the sin. He sees the wickedness. Finally gets Jonah on board to go there and share the message with the people. And they're receptive of it. And God's working behind the scenes to make sure that they're receptive of it. Because does God want people to go to hell? No. Absolutely not. That's a byproduct of our choice, of the rejection of the gospel. Does God want to destroy people? No. That is the same rejection. They could have said, no, we don't want any part of that. Let him come. But they didn't. And God turns from what he was going to do and says, you know what? They got it right. They took care of it. They turned from their ways. God is a man of his word. And he took care of it. He said, all right, y'all got it. Y'all got it. You did it. And it's for real. So I'm going to spare you. And now you might be thinking, well, that's just a story in the Bible. Yeah, but it's your life. You're the king right now. Or you have been. We've all tried to sit on the throne, you know. We've all tried to be king or lord in our lives. In our Ninevehs, the people we surround ourselves with. Our Nineveh, it's not a city, but it's a culture that we choose to partake in. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography. You list any other sin there. We're sitting on that throne, man. And you look down. We don't see gold streets and pretty sidewalks and nice landscaping going here and there and everywhere. When you look down from your throne, all you see is wickedness. If you're not living for Christ, all you see is the lifestyle you're living in, and how glorious is it? I know for me it wasn't. When I got off my throne a few Septembers ago, man, that's rough. I lived like that. It ain't about me living like that. It's about God pulling me out of that. Amen. It ain't about me, what I used to be. It ain't about how Nineveh was. It ain't about how the king was. It's about if you still got a heartbeat, you're ready to go. If you got a heartbeat, God's preparing that heart that's in your chest. If you got a heartbeat, God ain't done with you. My last my last statement that I want to say before I close is this, and I want you guys to pay attention, okay? If you're not ready to listen, and you're not ready to change or repent, and you're not ready to get off your throne, and you're not ready for Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, then you are not ready to die. You're not ready. You're not ready. And tonight, the message is the same message Jonah had for Nineveh, is what I have for you is, it might not be 40 days. It might not be next year. It might not be this year. It might not be 25 years from now. But we got an expiration date. God's going to call us home, or he's going to come back. And if you aren't ready, we get the same fate as Nineveh. And that's overthrown. But you turn from that, you got the same promise too. And that's the promise of salvation. Because didn't Jonah say, salvation is of the Lord. Y'all can have that tonight. Let's go ahead and stand. And as the music plays and